Greetings, listeners. Welcome to Flanagan's Ecologic Podcast and our special series, The Clean Energy Crash Course, a father-daughter duo. I'm your co-host, Sierra Flanagan, joined by my father, Ted Flanagan. And we're excited. We have an exciting topic today that we're going to dive into, which is actually quite personal and also something that I think aspirational for all of us. As we talk about some of the sustainability leadership that's gone on there with renewables. So, Dad, welcome.
Well, thanks.
It's just, we're back from a big wedding weekend at Millbrook.
At Millbrook School in New York, about a couple hours north of New York City, when 175 of us gathered to celebrate daughter Skye's wedding.
Yeah, pretty epic, really. And the same chapel that my grandmother got married in. My grandmother, your mother, 93 years old, attended the wedding looking smashing. And so it was pretty significant. But I spent my senior year at Millbrook School in Millbrook, New York. My sister spent her junior and senior year there. As I mentioned in my speech, service, the school is built on this notion, this commitment to service and community service. The crest of the logo reads, non sibi sed cunctus, not for one, but for all. So let's, so the very beginning of the story is 1931 when your grandparents actually founded the school.
Yeah.
But we can jump forward a little bit, unless you want to provide any context on that.
No, I think that's great. It's you guys, were in high school in Laguna Beach, happily in high school, and said, hey, we want to go to, making a short story here, but you wanted to go check out this prep school that, my grandparents, your great grandparents founded. And I thought, you're crazy. Why would you want to do that? So all the way across the country, you're happy in Laguna Beach, and you end up having just this incredible prep school experience. And because you guys were there, I got to know quite well the head of the environmental program there, Jane Meggs, who really wanted to solarize the school. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of put our heads together, and she realized that having the grandson of the founder working on this project would have a little bit of cachet with the board and with all the naysayers that we encountered. There weren't too many naysayers, but we were able to pull off just an incredible solar project there. So we're proud of it because it's the family school, and then we've helped decarbonize it, and we hope we can help a little bit more decarbonize it in the future.
And so, as some listeners know, I've embarked in the field of campus sustainability as my profession. And so kind of witnessing Millbrook's evolution and commitment towards sustainability has always been really inspiring to me. And so all these schools, are appointing sustainability coordinators and, getting their recycling and composting systems in place, and many of whom are pursuing decarbonization strategies. So what was the first step? I mean, there was some commitment in place, right? Can you set the tone for us?
I think Millbrook was part and parcel of that Green Schools Alliance, thanks mm-hmm. to, again, thanks to Jane Meggs. But, I just really credit Jane and some of the young students like yourselves that wanted Millbrook to be a leader. And, she really had a lot of resistance. This was not one of the school's priorities. But then Berkshire School put in a solar system, and that got everybody's attention. That was actually founded, I think, by the Kellogg Foundation and a different financial model. So, but the first thing that we did when we got engaged was to try to figure out, what is the school's footprint? What's the carbon footprint? How much electricity would we need to generate on campus? And that took us down several paths. I mean, as the first step in sizing any solar system or any renewable system is to figure out, can you maximize your efficiency first? Can you reduce your load? And, Brother Russell and company, we looked at, audited 46 buildings on campus, found all sorts of inefficiency, hundreds of measures. And so we netted that out of the sizing that we would require. At the same time, the school was realizing that geothermal systems were working. The first geothermal system went in at the school, 160 foot wells, 15 of them, and they were they were working, heating and cooling that math and science building that you know. So we realized that there was going to be more geothermal heating on campus that would increase the load. So at the end of the day, we ended up putting in about a 1.7 megawatt solar system that we figured would net out all the electricity use on an annual basis for the school.
So how did the school pay for it? You mentioned this wasn't an existing priority in their strategic plan.
Well, a bunch of really, that was some of the coolest part of the project was the financial part, because we realized that the school was really paying a very low price for power. They were buying power from Central Hudson Gas and Electric for around 10 cents a kilowatt hour, which is about half of what we're paying in California. And we thought, oh no, that's such a low price that it's going to be hard to finance a system that's going to cost less than that, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day. So, we routinely see power purchase agreements out here, 12, 13, 14 cents. So if you're paying more, you don't want to pay more for power, solar power, than you're paying for grid power. So we were concerned. And that's when Mark Hopkinson, who was actually a graduate of Millbrook, I think in 1965, same class as our friend Bob Anthony and John O'Meggs, Jane's husband. But Mark got involved, and we were talking, and Mark's been a consultant to EcoMotion, and we developed this thing. He really came up with the model. I named it, and I've taken lots of credit for it unfairly, called the Benefactor Investment Model, the BIM. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool model, and actually Millbrook's chief financial officer, Bob Connolly, really glommed onto it. It was exciting, because what we were going to do was we were going to find a group of alumni and benefactors of the school, and we're going to offer them the opportunity to invest in an LLC and to build and own a solar system at Millbrook School. And then they would charge the school for its power for 5 or 6 or 7 years, past the tax recapture period. They monitor all the tax benefits. And at that point, they've made all their money back with a small 2 or 3% return. And they flip the whole solar system as a donation to the school. And the school has free power then for the rest of the life of the solar system. It was a brilliant model. And it really, it allowed, benefactors that maybe have been on the sidelines, instead of donating money to the school, now they could invest and get a small return, but get their money back, but really help to leverage a project like that. So that was a really cool thing. And we actually approached some benefactors and had some benefactors interested. But then something even better happened. I guess even better, because it was more expeditious, that we were able to get a $1.25 million grant from NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, through one of their program opportunity notices. And at the time, New York State was spending, had $109 million out there to support systems just like the kind of system that we were putting in. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, and I truly believe that Millbrook does not understand, the school does not understand, but probably most people don't understand what a good deal they got. But at the end of the day, Millbrook is paying 7.5 cents for every kilowatt hour that comes off of that solar system for the next 20 years. Now, the system is about 9 years old at this point. So now Central Hudson's prices have gone up. They're probably around 12 cents a kilowatt hour. So we're saving the school probably pushing $80,000 to $100,000 per year through the power purchase agreement. The benefactor investment model would have saved the school more like $8 million. And at the time, they were trying to raise money for that Konigsberger Hall, the new K Hall, beautiful facility. And that cost $8 million. And we were saying, hey, if you use the benefactor investment model, it'll create that saving stream to pay for that dorm. But the school elected to go the other route, use the power purchase agreement, originally with Solar City, which is now Tesla, and get the 7.5 cent deal for the next 20 years. So it was a pretty good story that this, here's a prep school that could just say, thanks to Jane Meggs, we want to be carbon neutral in our electricity. And, fast forward, and you got a deal where you're not only putting no money down, but you're netting out your entire load, and you're saving, originally it was about $50,000 a year.
Well, and a lot of prep schools are engaging in these PPAs. And what I've seen and what we've spoken about previously is that many of them aren't savvy enough to realize that they're oftentimes losing their carbon credits. or their renewable energy credits. So can you speak to that, how you were able to retain those for Millbrook, even despite getting such a great deal?
Well, that, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because every project we do, we retain the RECs, or the carbon credits, the renewable energy certificates, on behalf of the client. And yes, those, if you don't, the developer, a solar developer, obviously can take those and monetize those and allow others to pollute and essentially strip away your own, if you care about bragging rights, essentially strip away your rights to say that you're green. And so Millbrook has gotten lots of, I think, deserved credit for taking this step and you know, greening its campus so dramatically. And we did so, and we retained the RECs. And yes, I think you're right. You need to have somebody knowledgeable looking at these contracts to make sure that you do retain the RECs and that you've got good things like performance guarantees if the system fails, and there's good O&M provisions that are built into it, and buyout clauses and things like that. But Millbrook's deal, I think, is very solid. And, you know, they're buying measured kilowatt hours. If there's any shortfall, it's made up through the contract.
That's incredible. And so had they not pursued this solar system, they would be paying 12 cents per kilowatt hour. Right.
I'm guessing somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. Still low compared to the national average, but right. Yeah, it's
7.5 cents is pretty banger deal.
Well, it is a banger deal, and that's what you really want. You want to have 0% escalator, and then utility rates. We know utility rates will rise, and so into the future, you have greater and greater a greater and greater saving stream. Now, I calculate through the PPA deal that we got, they'll probably, you know, in addition to having no money down and all that good stuff, they'll probably save about $1.5 million, maybe $2 million. The BIM model, the benefactor investment model, really would be a preferable route just from a financial standpoint. But it's more complex. It involves bringing together a group of benefactors and,
right.
And you know, the development office at Millbrook, you know some of the players. They were like, oh, wait a second, are you going to be pirating, you know, money from our other campaigns to go to this one? And so there was that understandable tension there. So I think at the end of the day, we did good. The school's got pretty much exactly what it wants. I wandered up to the solar site last week when we were there, a couple weeks ago when we were there, and early in the morning, it was sort of a misty morning, and I passed through that swamp on the way down from the gym to the solar field, and there was a family of deer hanging out. And then I went up to the solar system, and the sun was coming up, and the panels were just that row after row, and then undulating there where there's the granite outcropping. I had a really good sense about what we did there and what we accomplished there, and proud of all the people that made it happen.
And if your great grandparents could see, you know, you, the namesake of your grandfather, Edward Pulling, came and decarbonized the campus.
I think it did pretty
innovatively too. I mean, so there's that element, but then also, I mean, this model, BIM, benefactor investor model, I know you've written a white paper about it and, you know, spoken about it extensively, but is this being applied elsewhere?
It really isn't. And, we had that one benefactor out here when we were doing that job in Northern San Diego County. It was a smaller system, and the benefactor got less, he became less of a benefactor when he saw what the money he could, he could make on it. I think UMass Dartmouth, we just gave UMass Dartmouth permission, and actually with Greener U, permission to use the model there if they I think they have some benefactors there that they're pulling together for a solar system there. We were, you know, when we were working on that a couple of years ago, that we were looking at 10 megawatts of solar at that campus, a pretty big system. And it, you know, just from a financial standpoint, if you find some benefactors that are willing to just get their money back, and they do that through collecting tax credits and depreciation benefits, they just get past the tax recapture period. You know, they made their money back with a small return. If they're benefactors of the college or the university, then they donate that at that point. And you don't want to be careful. You don't want to try to get too much of a charitable contribution at the back end of the deal, right. If any. But it can work out. It can really be a win-win, we think. And I tribute Mark Hopkinson for all that. There are some nuances in the tax code there that you got to be very careful about.
Yeah, it sounds like all of the stars aligned for this project in terms of the utility rate, this grant, you know, the connections that you had at Millbrook School, the trust that was already built, and a really eager CFO or champion CFO who really saw the value in what you were offering and brought it into fruition. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about the system itself?
Yeah, and also while we're mentioning the champion CFO, I jump in there and say we had a champion board member, Rick Stuckey.
Right.
I think his son went to school with you. And Rick was just, you know, the head fund manager. I mean, it was as sharp as a tack. And he really, really dove in. And so it took those, I like what you said, the stars aligned. I mean, it took a lot of alignment and certain key players that were able to push through and key things. But yeah, in terms of the system, it's about eight acres. And it's all fenced in. And one of the provisions that the environmental folks at the school wanted, Jane and Jono in particular, was they wanted that chain link fencing that's got, I guess it's black in color. It's actually got a little bit of a plastic coating on it or something, but it makes it so it just, it doesn't, you don't see it. It's not as visible. We've got about a dozen rows that are long rows of solar panels. I looked it up. There's 5,852 295 watt solar panels. They're Trina panels, which is a Chinese made product. They're Solar Max inverters, which are a German technology. So the system's about 1.7 megawatts. And it was designed to generate in that first year about 2.2 million kilowatt hours a year. And that's what we determined that the school would use in a single year. So pretty cool. Just in terms of the system, and you might have heard a little bit about this, but you know, one of the real complexities of solar systems is hooking them up, and what they call the interconnection. And so, you know, we like to say that every job has its challenges, and that's an understatement. But in this case, you know, we had looked all over the campus for a good location. And the campus is idyllic, as you know, and these brick buildings and these slate roofs that no way you're going to put solar on them. And anywhere on the main campus, you know, there's a lot of resistance from the architects and the aesthetic, you know, angle. There was nowhere to put a lot of solar. So we started looking at fields around the campus. And there's the campus is 800 acres. So there's a lot of fields. And we checked out we trooped around all the fields. And of course, we ended up putting the solar system in the farthest one away, which was great in terms of getting it out of sight, other than a few landowners that are up on some ridge lines or far away that actually Headmaster Drew Casertano checked in with to make sure that they were comfortable with us going there. But we ended up with this field that was far away. So that's great, right, from an aesthetic standpoint, but how do you bring the power to the school? In California, you have to tie in where the meters are, and the meters are at, you know, the field house, the gym. There's a big meter, and then there's another big meter closer to the dining hall over there. So we were thinking about running the cable, the output of the solar system, you know, what, half a mile or three quarters of a mile. One way would have had to go through a swamp, a wetland protected in New York State. Very, very difficult. Another way would have been taking a much more circuitous route and then stringing our cables all along the power poles, all the way up School Road back to the campus. So that was a really big deal and potentially a showstopper. Thankfully, the state of New York has a policy, a policy called remote net energy metering. And because there was a small meter out with the observatory, for those that know Millbrook, way out and back by the observatory, or over by the swamp and the old ski hill, little observatory using about 9 kilowatt hours a year, that they allowed us to interconnect at that point. So that was really a godsend.
Yeah, that was major.
We had a power factor issue where we were in the real fingers, I like to say, in the fingers of the Central Hudson distribution network. And all of a sudden you're adding, a major renewable power source with no reactive power coming off it, only true power coming off of it. So we had a power factor issue. Fortunately, those Solar Max inverters that I mentioned can be adjusted. So we were able to make a power factor adjustment at the inverter level. So those were some of the tricky issues that came up there, but they were nicely overcome.
Wow, I'd say so. And so what happens after it's all hooked up? How did the school know that the system is performing properly?
Yeah, well, we kind of kept a look at it for several years and checked the bills and made sure that the savings, that the credits were being, appropriately credited to the school and to the bills there. So there was an issue, and I think year number two with a couple of the inverters, SolarCity had some solar inverter faults. I think they had to replace a couple of the inverters out there, and I think I trust that the contract, as I said earlier, the power purchase agreement, which makes very clear the terms, is good, and the school is all on top of it. As you know, there's an able team there, Jeff Smith, who's now the CFO, and Ben Day, head of operations, that I'm sure are making sure that they're getting what they pay for. The school only pays for metered kilowatt hours, again, with a guaranteed kilowatt hour performance.
Can you explain a little bit what that means for us lay people?
Yeah, I mean, what's in the contract is the expected output in terms of kilowatt hours for every year. I mentioned the first year, the system is generating 2.2 million kilowatt hours. So there's a little bit of degradation, 0.5% per year, I think, built into the contract. But the system has to deliver that to the school, and that's the deal. And if the system doesn't deliver that, then let's just say it's 10% short for one reason or another, some inverters right. fail or whatever. It's 10% short. Well, then Tesla, which is now the owner of the system, has to. And so at that point, if it's 10% short, that means that the school had to go out and purchase that power from Central Hudson Gas and Electric for that 12 cents that we were talking about instead of the 7.5 cents. So Tesla actually has to pay for that shortfall and pay the difference in price there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the school is made whole through that kind of a power purchase agreement, as long as you've got somebody like a financial officer, which is in place at Millbrook, and a maintenance person that's savvy, that's kind of aware of what's going on with the system on board, and they do.
And you said these PPA contracts are good for about 20 years, or what is the lifetime of the system?
Well, this is a 20-year power purchase agreement. Some of them are structured at 25. We've seen 30. So there's different lengths, and then they always will have a provision for extending it for another 5 years, and they'll have rates or they'll have also have buyout provisions. But you asked how long a system should last. It's being properly maintained. I can attest to that. When I went out there, it looks beautiful, and it's all remotely monitored, so they know if there's a problem. But these systems, all the panels are guaranteed for 25 years, but they're lasting 30, 40 years. So I think we're in good shape. But I guess Millbrook's about halfway through its contract. And they can probably renew that contract, extend it for at least another 5 years.
Okay. So that's what you anticipate will happen at the end of the 20-year contract, an extension?
I would think so. Yeah. Okay. Unless there's a better option, but I would imagine that would be the best thing to do.
Right. All right. And so what are the next steps for Millbrook?
Yeah, well, this is very humbly presented because we have worked for the school. We're not under contract, and we've done lots of different aspects, as I alluded to earlier. But, unsolicited comments. If I were managing Millbrook's carbon footprint, I would certainly look at, again, as we did 10 years ago, I would look at the energy efficiency opportunities. There's been a lot of construction on campus. There's a lot of beautiful facilities. We saw lots of lights on that didn't need to be on. I'm not sure that there's adequate controls on some of these systems. So there's probably, as in every facility, there's probably quite a few things that can be done to control energy use better and to reduce it through energy efficiency.
Right.
The thing that I would do also is I'd look at adding more solar. I mean, I think that the school has been a leader in terms of carbon neutrality and pushing towards carbon neutrality. And you know, as it's grown, it, you know, added the dorms and added the dining hall, and, you know, big facilities have been added. I'm sure that the school is using much more than the 2.2 million kilowatt hours that it did back in 2013. My, you know, my pet project there would be to use the roof of the field house, you know, where, or the gym or the ice rink, I guess the ice rink roof, which is a big tin building. It's not an architecturally attractive facility at all. It is an industrial building.
This is the mill center.
It's tied to the Mills Athletic Center, and it's just it's the ice rink, I guess. And it's just got a perfect roof for solar. You could load it up both on the, it's a pitched roof. You load up the east side, the west side. I think you'd probably be able to get enough solar there to again net out the entire school's load.
Well, very exciting accomplishments, and always more to come and more to do on this journey to carbon neutrality. Do you have any final thoughts on the Millbrook Solar story that you'd like to share, Dad?
Just a few, but it's I think it's a colorful story, and there's so many colorful stories. And as we said before, they're all driven by these people. I think I mentioned all the players at Millbrook, Jane and John Omegs. Without them, that wouldn't have happened. Drew Casertano, the headmaster, Bob Connolly, who has just recently passed away. Mm-hmm. What a superb gentleman he was. He was the financial officer we talked about. Rick Stuckey, the board member. And then at the EcoMotion team, as always, Michael Ware, our senior solar specialist extraordinaire, who was supported in this job by brother Russell Flanagan. So it takes a team effort. And as you said, the stars were really aligned at Millbrook for this project.
Well, thank you so much for sharing about this story. It's such a wonderful story, and one that I hope adds value and inspiration to our listeners. More to come, so stay tuned. I think for now, this wraps our Clean Energy Crash Course, Millbrook School, the solar story. But you can, you know, listen to my dad's many podcasts that he's generating regularly, and on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you find, listen to your podcasts. And for now, it's been lovely speaking with you, Father. More to come. I'm very inspired myself by all of your leadership and really living up to our family's legacy, I think. So
that's great.
Love you.
Love you too. Thank you.
And thanks to everybody who's tuning in today. Take care.